Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Business in the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as you know, as you well know. And I know it's like a dream come true for you, too, isn't it? And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. And if you've been listening, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Ken Davis is with us. Kenneth C. Davis is our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Don't Know Much About History, which is sold something under a billion copies galactically. And he's written a dozen or so others since then, Don't Know Much About Mythology, and on and on. His new book is called America's Hidden History, Untold Stories of the First of All These People who Shaped Our History, and it's available now for sale wherever books are sold. He's our good friend. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure to be with you, and good morning.
It's good to have you back. My audience knows that I'm a history nut. I love history. I love the stories. Ken, the thing that amazes me so much is the vision of the founders of the United States, and we give them a lot of credit, and we should give them a lot of credit. But when you think about it, there were so many things that went into getting them to the point where they could actually declare independence. I mean, they were standing on the shoulders of a lot of people, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I have a good morning, and thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure. I have a chapter in America's Hidden History, which is the new book, and it is divided into six chapters that are very, very different in the stories they tell. But one of those chapters is called Warren's Toga, and it's about one of those forgotten founders, Joseph Warren. And Joseph Warren used to give speeches. He would give lectures or speak about independence, and he would wear a toga like Cicero of ancient Rome. And so when you say they were standing on the shoulders, absolutely, these were ideals that the founders would trace back to the Roman Republic. Yeah. And so these were serious men who had very serious ideas about what a republic should be and what. Now, of course, when we get to the point of the Revolution, and this book starts out much earlier than that, in Florida, by the way, in the 1500s. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the Revolutionary period, you also have, you know, it was a very complex thing. It wasn't just about tea and taxes. It certainly wasn't just about democracy, because not all of the founders were very fond of democracy. What brought together the people who were scratching out an existence with the people like George Washington and his fellow plantation owners who were, you know, well-fed and well-read and well-wed? It was a lot of different factors, and that's what I try and bring to this book, the complexity of history, but also the human side of the story. And these are, as I call them, untold tales in many respects. These are stories that the textbooks leave out, but they're so important in shaping who we are as a people, and more importantly and most importantly, what the past has to do with the present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I love talking about the past and the present. Ken, one of my favorite books is a book that Charles McKay wrote in 1848 called Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And in that book, he talks about the Tulipomania, the South Sea Bubble, and the Mississippi Scheme. And if you just went in there and took the scenarios of all three of those and change the names around and the dates and some of the elements involved.
Sure, you'd have .com or real estate or mortgage meltdown or subprime. Yeah.
You'd also have the junk bonds of the early 80s and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What is it about humans that we don't? You know, I love what you just said about how history impacts the future. Why don't we learn from our history?
You know, we it's one of the most quoted things is that those who don't learn history are condemned to repeat it, and
yep.
we say it all the time, but nobody actually seems to actually learn from it, or maybe some very smart people do, and they're keeping quiet about it. But it does seem that we hit ourselves with the same 2x4 over and over and over again, and you know, it's like the old joke about the guy who says, "Doctor, my eye hurts when I drink coffee," and he says, "Well, take the spoon out." We just keep taking that the same lessons and forgetting them and thinking perhaps it's arrogance that we think we know what they did wrong 200 years ago or 50 years ago, but we'll get it right this time.
Well, I think
it has a lot to do with human nature.
I think it's what's wrong with humanity. You know what's wrong with humanity, Ken? Right? I've told you that,
people.
Haven't I? The humans, that's exactly right. 22, right back with our good buddy Ken Davis, Kenneth C. Davis, the author of the brand new book. It's an outstanding book, ladies and gentlemen, America's Hidden History. Here's Chicago to take us out. Here's Joe Cocker, ladies and gentlemen, that Mad Dog Englishman, bringing us back. 17 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Kenneth C. Davis. Ken Davis is the author of America's Hidden History, a brand spanking new book, available, Ken, wherever books are sold, right?
It is out in all the bookstores right now, as well as the online stores, and I hope it'll be showing up in your public library soon.
I heard there was a phenomenon, Ken, that was going around that people who buy them actually are wishing they bought two so they could give. They bought one to give one away, and then when they started reading it before they gave it away, they actually wish they bought their own. Is that true? Has that been kind of rippling through the economy?
It's viral, as in the phrase of the day.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it, right?
That's my story.
I have done that, though.
From your lips to Amazon and Barnes & Noble's ears.
Haven't you done that, though? Haven't you bought something, whatever it was? And I mean, I have a confession. I've actually bought things, and I've said, you know what? This is too good. I'm not giving this away.
Well, we often buy gifts for ourselves and, you know, think, well, gee, this is such a great gift. I wish I was giving it to myself.
I know. Absolutely. Well, look, let's talk about I want to come back to the revolution for a minute. Folks, we're working out of Ken's new book, America's Hidden History. You say in the book that 1776 gets all the glory, but and we talked earlier about the fact that they really were standing on the shoulders of people and events previous to that. The 76 was the culmination. Well, what was such a big deal about 75?
Well, of course, and we just passed the anniversary. April 19th, 1775 was, of course, the battles of Lexington and Concord. But one of the chapters in the book, which I mentioned earlier, it's called Warren's Toga, is really the build-up to that day. What was going on, especially in Massachusetts, and I go into, of course, all of the reasons, many reasons that the revolution and the revolutionary spirit came into being, but that year in Boston, the years leading up to 1776 were so crucial. And I focus again. Part of the subtitle here is Forgotten Founders. I do focus on this this guy Joseph Warren because mm-hmm. he is such an incredible personal character. A young physician grew up. Very successful, married a wealthy young woman. She dies. He has four children. He gets passionate about the patriot cause. He was really one of the key figures in the Boston patriot circle, but you never hear his name, and it's really too bad because he is such an extraordinary character. He took the events of what happened on April 19th, 1775, and he went around and got depositions from everyone who participated, including some of the wounded British soldiers and officers who had been captured. He put that together in a packet and sent it to England. It got there first. He also circulated it throughout the colonies. There's no question, it was propaganda, but mm-hmm. it was brilliant propaganda, and that document, those collection of depositions and his letter to the English people really fired the American imagination. It also changed opinion in England as well.
I wonder if that's what Adam Smith read when he wrote about, you know, Adam Smith wrote about American patriots. He was very fond of the American. Adam Smith, the father of our modern economic system, folks, the author of The Wealth of Nations, one of my favorite books
Which came out in 1776, by the way.
Exactly. So my question is, do you think, now that you're telling me this, I wonder if that's what he had read. I wondered, how did he know about all of it? How did he know so much about them? Is it possible he read this?
Well, it's certainly possible he would have read that it was widely circulated in England, but we have to remember that this argument about America's freedoms had been going on for quite a while, and Ben Franklin, for instance, had been in England as an agent of the colonies trying to make this case to Parliament. He speaks in Parliament. He's really brutalized in the press in England. So it was a topic in the news, certainly among well-read gentlemen of England. So Adam Smith would have been aware of all the situation, the political situation
right.
with the colonies.
Right.
But back to Warren for just a second, because one of the reasons people don't know his name the way they know, you know, Adams or Hancock, more familiar names. He's a surgeon, but he's a passionate patriot. At the Battle of Bunker Hill, he rushes to the front lines to take command and he wasn't a trained soldier at all.
Right.
He's killed instantly by a shot to the head,
wow.
thrown into a sort of common grave by the British. Months later, after the British evacuate Boston, Paul Revere, and Warren was the one who told Paul Revere to go on that midnight
really?
Ride. I mean, really one of the
wow.
crucial characters. Paul Revere goes back to try and find Joseph Warren's body.
Wow.
And he does disinter it, and he identifies Warren's remains by the set of false teeth that Revere himself had set in Warren.
Wow.
Warren, it's one of the things that Paul Revere
did. You're giving me goosebumps, Ken.
Well, this was you know, sort of CSI of the 18th century.
No, I mean, this is fascinating.
And there's another wonderful footnote to this story. Warren has four children. They were actually staying with Abigail Adams during the Battle of Bunker
mm-hmm.
Hill when they become orphans, in essence. A man comes to Boston and said, these four children must have a pension. Somebody has to help take care of them. He puts up the money himself to do that. That
wow.
man was Benedict Arnold.
Wow.
And I tell a whole chapter about Benedict Arnold because,
yeah.
again, reduced to a single line in the textbook,
mm-hmm.
you know, villain, traitor.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most extraordinary leader of the early revolution.
And incredibly, Kenneth C. Davis asked this question. Was George Washington a war criminal? Blasphemy, right? Well, we'll see. 10 till. We'll be right back with our good buddy Ken Davis. His book is called America's Hidden History. Stay with us.
Before the break of day, searching for something to say.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're still rocking with our good friend Ken Davis. Kenneth C. Davis is the name of the book. He says we can call him Ken because you and I are his friends. He's the author of the new book, America's Hidden History. And by the way, don't forget all the other books, folks. You're going to want to have a collection of these books because they're very important. And just in time, Ken, for graduation presents too, right?
You know, mothers like history too. There's Mother's Day is coming.
I don't know what I could have been thinking. Exactly, it's got Mother's Day coming out.
In fact, just a quick one here. I tell the fascinating story of three women in Puritan Massachusetts. One of whom was the most famous woman in America at a time, and her name is forgotten. She's the first woman to whom a statue is dedicated. A mother in Massachusetts, 1697. She's taken by Indians. In the middle of the night, she and a couple of other captives wake up, and they kill the Indians who are keeping them. She has the presence of mind to leave and then come back and take their scalps, because Massachusetts was paying a bounty for scalps at that time. So that was life for a mother in Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it gets into the complexities of life, the connections between Native Americans and
mm-hmm.
the Puritan settlers. It wasn't all so happy after that first Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. And you know, Joe, can you say that George Washington, you asked the question, was he a war criminal? You know, Joe, Ken, you know, before I have the local chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution storm your house, explain yourself.
Well, when he was a wet behind the ears, proud, ambitious, headstrong, and very untested 22-year-old, and you know we do a lot of dumb things when we're 22, George Washington was leading a group of militiamen out in the wilderness of Pennsylvania. He was supposed to be building a fort. This was a time when France and England were fighting over or arguing over what was going to become of all this territory. Washington attacks, ambushes a group of French soldiers in the woods. One of the French officers is brutally murdered in the course of this. Washington then skedaddles. The French army tracks him down. He builds a small kind of outhouse-sized building with a circle of stakes around it. Calls it Fort Necessity. Desperation would have been a better name. But then he is forced to surrender for the first and only time in his military career and signs a document in which he takes responsibility for the death of this French officer.
Wow.
who actually is a diplomat. So this was actually he's signing a confession of murdering a diplomat. Well,
yeah.
That confession really was enough to set off what is known as the 7 Years' War in Europe, the mm-hmm. First World War. In America, it was known, of course, as the French and Indian War. And this was, you know, Washington's doing as I said, a 22-year-old, untested. We talk about, you know, experience how it shapes a person. This was the core experience of Washington's life. And unfortunately, we don't hear about this in the textbook. We don't hear about it. We get Washington and the cherry tree story, which is, of course, nonsense, and then we see him at Valley Forge. We don't know anything about these years in between, and this was such an important time in his life. And I just thought, again, it's the hidden history, the stories that the textbooks leave out about the most important man in revolutionary
time. But when you know about that history, and then you fast forward to when he's deciding whether to get involved in the war in Europe, you got to believe that was impacting his decision.
This experience, I'm convinced, when you read what not only this one particular experience with this ambush, but his experience during the war when he saw he was attached to General Braddock, a well-known British officer whose forces were wiped out in one of the great disasters of the French and Indian War, and Washington survives that, and he saw how awful war was. He saw what the stupidity of men in war could do. He also learned a lot about politics and war, because in Virginia, the House of Burgesses controlled the purse strings, and he had to learn how to make sure that he got enough money to outfit his men. So he learned a lot from this in this period when he was in his 20s, and it certainly shaped him for when he was 40 and 50 as a general and then as president.
Ken, there's so many stories. We've only scratched the surface of this wonderful new book of Ken Davis, Kenneth C. Davis, America's Hidden History, available wherever books are sold. Ken, give us your website again, please.
Well, the new one is America's Hidden History, the book, .com.
.com.
You can
right.
also go to don'tknowmuch.com.
There you go. Hey, Ken, it's always a pleasure. Looking forward to our next visit already.
Let's do it again.
All right, thanks. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth C. Davis. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.